Coming up on The Green Jumper, memories of the best manager England never had.
We all know, I think they were scared of him. You know, they were scared of what he would have done and what he would have said. But at the end of it, does that matter if we were going to be successful?
Plus, what happened behind the scenes when Cluffy became boss of the England youth team?
There was a lady looking after us to where we were going to train, where we were eating and all this. We were on the coach going to the training ground, and all of a sudden you heard the gaffer say, "Oi, driver, pull over." And he pulled over and he said to this lady, because she was put a fag on, she went, "Young lady, no one smokes on my bus, they'll get off the bus."
There's also an unforgettable introduction to the England youth players.
First words the gaffer went was, "Blow me, Pete, these are an ugly lot." And then he clocked his eyes on me. He went, "Hello, son, how are we doing? Are they looking after you?" "Well, I'll look after you now I'm here. Come here and give me a kiss." And I was like, "No, please, gaffer, no." And he went, "Come on, come and give me a kiss."
You'll also hear the story behind a missing 1979 European Cup winners' medal.
I've been trying for years and years. You know, I'm waiting and I'm not getting any younger and I'm still trying hard. And it's important to me, not just me, because of my family. When I'm not here, I want my family to have that medal.
And talking of the European Cup, there's a personal tribute to Brian Clough's Picasso of our game, John Robertson.
When I joined as a young player, he looked after me. He spoke to me in the right way. He treated me like one of his teammates, you know, the older teammates. He made us laugh, he made us smile. Did he make us smile with his jokes and the way he was, but he made us smile the way he played. I'll miss him till the day I die. He was a special man, a special player in what was a special squad.
It's the Green Jumper podcast with myself, Marcus Alton, the editor of the tribute website, brianclough.com. Now, Cluffy is often described as the best manager England never had. But one man who knows what it was like to play for Brian as England boss is Gary Mills. Not only did he play for him at club level, but also for the England youth team. And I'm delighted to say Gary joins us now. Welcome back to the Green Jumper.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you. It's great to be back.
Lovely to chat to you again. And we're going back to 1978, a long time now, when Clough was joint boss, I think, of the England youth team, having been turned down for the top job as England manager at the end of 1977. You were part of that youth team. What do you remember of that particular time?
Yeah, it was very interesting time. I was still 16, but managed to get myself into the England youth setup. And I don't know if it was the gaffer at the time was obviously mentioned for the full England side. So I don't know whether when he got the opportunity to manage the youth, it was like, "I'll show you that I can manage England," or what his thoughts were, to be honest. But yeah, we had a tournament in Las Palmas. And it was a very interesting time, to be honest with you, because obviously I was excited to be playing for England number one. I played for England schoolboys, and then to get the chance to play for England youth was the next step, which was great.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was announced that my manager and his assistant were going to be England youth team managers for the trip in Las Palmas. So I couldn't believe it, to be honest. It was, you know, something like, "Well, this is going to be very, very, very interesting." And it was. The gaffer didn't let me down. I think he let a few people down initially because he arrived late. And we travelled to Las Palmas as the squad. And even at the airport, it was, you know, the physio, the coaches, although you couldn't mention that word when the gaffer was around coaches, that wasn't allowed.
Right.
And the doctor, and they was all saying, "Gary," you know, was asking me, I remember I was 16, and they were going, "Gary, where's your manager?" I was like, I don't know. I don't know where he is. You know, obviously he should be here because he's managing the team.
Yeah.
So we travelled over to Las Palmas without the gaffer and Peter Taylor for this tournament. And we're actually there for about, I think, about 2 days. And if I got asked once, I got asked 1,000 times, Gary, where's, have you heard from your manager? He should be here. You know, and I went, no, I haven't heard from him. You know, and to be honest, it's not down to me. I'm just a player in the squad that I thought, oh, Gaffer, what's going on? And then anyway, while I was there, the players in the squad were going, Gary, where's your gaffer? What's he like? You know, he's not turned up. What's... And I was like sort of saying, well, it's hard for me to explain, but you'll find out when it... you can make your own mind up what you think. So anyway, we've been there a couple of days, and then all of a sudden we got a message that the management team would be in the hotel in the next hour, and we had to get in this meeting room. And so we sat in this meeting room waiting for them to come. And even then, I was like, I'm not too sure he's going to turn up, but we heard he's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, he did. The doors opened, the gaffer and Peter Taylor, and they didn't say a word, to be honest. They stood there and just sort of eyeballed everybody and looking round to see who's who. And all of the first words the gaffer went was, blow me, Pete. These are an ugly lot. These are an ugly lot. And then he started to look around again, and then he clocked his eyes on me. He went, hello, son. How are we doing? Are they looking after you? Well, I'll look after you now I'm here. Come here and give me a kiss. And I was like, no, please, Gaffer, no. And he went, come on, come and give me a kiss. So I had to walk across the room in front of all the players and give the Gaffer a kiss on the cheek. Now sit down, son. And then he plucked his eye on the centre half. Rob Einmarch used to play for Sunderland.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at Rob and he went, blow me, son, you're ugly. And he went, you've got to be a centre-half, son. And he went, yeah, I am, actually. He went, well, you must be with the looks like that. He said, but I like that. He says, obviously, you put your head in where it doesn't hurt and you've been scarred a few times. And remember, these are young lads, really, and yeah. Youth team. So anyway, that was the introduction from the gaffer. And then he sort of took charge, and I think our first trip on the bus, there was a lady looking after us to where we were going to train and where we were eating and all this. And we were on the coach going to the training ground, and all of a sudden you heard the gaffer say, "Oi, driver, pull over." And it was a bit like, "Qué? What?" A Spanish.
Yeah.
Pull over. Pull over. And he pulled over and he said to this lady, because she was put a fag on, she went, young lady, get off my bus now. And people got the doctors and that were going, no, she's looking. He went, no one smokes on my bus, they'll get off the bus. And she got, bless her heart, she got off the bus, and Gaffer went, off we go, and off we went training. So his sort of introduction as to who he was and how he managed and what he'd done was very clear from the word go.
Yes, yeah. You would have been used to the unpredictable nature of the man, but what did your teammates think? I mean, there were some well-known names, or they became well-known, like Mark Proctor, I think, Clive Allen, Mark Falco.
Yeah.
What did they make of it all?
Well, they couldn't believe it. They were like, Your gaffer's nuts. He's crackers. Is he like this all the time? And I went, yeah. But I'd got used to it, Mark. You know, I'd been with him. He joined in 1975 at Forest, and I joined in 1975 as a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And I got to know him. You know, I played in the Central League from the age of 14. So I was one of his players, and he was nurturing me without me realising, Marcus, to be a man, because he used to say that all the time. You might as well learn at 14, son, than 24. You're a young man now. You're not a boy anymore. And he did, and so I was sort of used to it. But these players, like you say, big names in the end, some of them, were like, I couldn't put up with this. I couldn't put up with this. So, you know, and I was going, well, you would if you played for him.
It's great. Yeah. Well, I was looking at an old newspaper article, and it said before a match, I think he got the team doctor and the administration officer removed from the dressing room because he said, certain people, in my view, have no right to be in a dressing room before a match. So I made sure they were removed. And I guess it's what you were used to, that he wanted to be in charge from top to bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I say, he was just sending people here, there, and everywhere. You know, you can't be on my bus. You can't be in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Was honest as a day's long with the players.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed some in the first half that he can play. I'm not too sure you can play. So you just do your job, which you head the ball, and you just give the ball to whoever. Because he can play a bit some, and you know, so I'd heard all this for like 2 or 3 years now.
Yes,
but it was if he didn't want you in his dressing room, then you know, there's no room for you. That was you gone.
That was it. Yeah. Well, he must have done something right and got the best out of the team, because you won both the matches in this tournament against Russia and Las Palmas, I think. So you won what was called the Atlantic Cup, that famous competition. You know, they hadn't won that in the previous season. He was expected, I think, to share the role with Ken Burton, who had that role over several seasons. That was never really going to work, was it, I suppose?
No, it wasn't going to work. And like I say, I don't know if it was like, come on, Pete, we'll show these England lot that we're not too big for our boots. I'll take England youth if that's what I need to do, or what. I don't know. I wish you could answer the question. You know, it was something he wasn't ever going to continue doing. But we won the tournament. And I can remember, Marcus, at the time, even though I was at Forest and I still wanted to prove something to him. And I can remember having a real good tournament, actually. And him saying, blow me, son, you can play. Blow me. And, you know, in the dressing room, it's like, oh, my player can play, can't he? Young Millsy, is like, and all this. And, you know, I can remember feeling proud of myself, really, that I'd done well. Well, not, I was proud, but it was almost like I wanted to be in the Forest team. I wanted to be. And that, I can remember that being on my mind, that it's a great opportunity for me to play for England Youth number one, but in front of the gaffer and Peter Taylor, that this is what I'm about. So it's a good tournament for me, really. But it was entertaining, let's put it.
Yes. Very entertaining. Off the field especially. Yes. Yeah. Do you think he would have made a good England manager of the first team?
Yeah, I think, you know, to say no, I think I'd be stupid to say no. He was the best at his business, in my opinion. I'd had the best apprenticeship, if you like, under, I thought, was an amazing man who made the game simple but made you do your job. And people know all this now. People have heard all this, but he would have done the same with England, and he wouldn't have messed about. There'd be no, oh, you can't talk to somebody like that. You can't talk to a player like that. He would have told them, regardless of who they were at the time, big England stars, you're not for me, son, you know. And so to answer your question, yeah, I think he would have been. I think it's what we needed. I think it's, you know, at the time, I think it's what England needed. I think a bit of honesty not pampering around and scared to say the right things. And I think, you know, we all know, I think they were scared of him. Not so much Pete, but I think the gaffer, I think, you know, they were scared of what he would have done and what he would have said. But at the end of it, does that matter if we were going to be successful? So to answer your question, I think he would have been perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they didn't continue it in that role after the tournament, I think, because of the league and European Cup commitments. It was John Cartwright, I think, who from Crystal Palace, who eventually took over because Ken Burton resigned after all that had happened. But that was quite a season for you, generally. You know, European Cup and England Youth. But all these years later, you're still waiting for your European Cup medal. Why is that?
I am, Marcus. It's a bit of a sore point with me. It's one I've been trying for years and years. My outlook at the moment is because Tony got his from the 1981. So Tony got presented with his not too long ago.
Yeah, Tony Woodcock got presented with it on the pitch, didn't he, I think?
So, you know, and I've had a chat with Tony and all that, and he's sort of gone down the same route as me that I've been down, but he's ended up, you know, lucky, you know, fair play to him. I'm pleased for him. But I'm the same with my 79 one that, you know, I'm waiting and I'm not getting any younger. And I'm still trying hard. I even contacted Forrest asking for their help. So the situation was, and we all know the squads in those days were 16, 17 players.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been on the bench in the early round. I played in the earlier round against Athens, and, you know, I was 16, 17. And I always sort of felt, or have felt, you know, was it because of my age? But that's immaterial, absolutely immaterial. And I don't know if people know this, but when the team was named and the squad for the game that day, against Malmo in Munich, he named the team and he named the subs, and I was one of the subs.
Right.
I was 17. I was one of the subs and thought nothing else of it. We went to bed, got our rest in the afternoon, got up for our pre-match. I was having a pre-match and the gaffer pulled me to one side and he went, son, I'm taking you off the bench tonight. I'm going to put John O'Hare on instead. It's probably John's last chance. You'll get your chance, and you're only young. And I went, obviously I was disappointed. I wasn't a young lad who didn't know what was going on. I'd been involved with the Central League team, involved with the first team for 3 years, really.
Yeah.
And so the disappointment was there for him to see. And my words to him were, I went, Gaffer, I said, I'll get a medal. Well, you know, and he went, oh, yes, son, and it'll be a winner's medal, son. Don't worry about that. But you'll get one, son. And I didn't get it, you know. And we all know things happened with the players' medals in that game, where the gaffer wanted everybody to put them in the middle of the table at the end of the game. And some players did, some players didn't. I won't go into all of that. That's not for me to talk about. It's about mine that I'm talking about that I never, ever got.
At all, no.
That I asked for from the age of 17, Marcus, up until the age of 27, so 10 years later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm asking for it. And was a big reason why I left the club in the end. It was, you know, something that means so much to me and means even more to me now. So I'm trying. I know I'm going on a bit, mate. But it's close to me that, and it's important to me, not just me, because of my family. You know,
yes.
When I'm not here, I want the family to have that medal.
Yeah, exactly. What sort of reaction have you had from the officials? You know, those that might be able to do something about it.
Well, it's a little bit, put it this way, I'd like a little bit more help than I'm getting, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think they realise the importance of it to me. So I'm a little bit disappointed, or very disappointed.
But we've seen it can happen with Tony Woodcock getting his medal all these years later. So,
Exactly. And that's you know, I've got, you know, I'm so pleased for Tony. But I'm also like, what is going on here? You know, I'm not 16, 17 anymore where, we don't have to worry about him. He's only a young lad. He don't understand. You know, I understood then. I understand now. So,
yes,
I'm going to keep battling for it. I know, like, the Manchester United team, back all them years ago when they won it, I think it was probably the similar sort of length of time that somebody even passed away, but the family has ended up getting his medal, you know, the player's medal. But I don't want that to happen to me. You know, I want to be the one to receive my medal. I worked for it. I was part of it.
Yeah.
I played just as an important part as everybody else.
It was the Athens game, wasn't it, that you you appeared in? Did you come on as sub?
Yeah, the second half. I played Frank Clark got injured. We were, you know, goal difference was great. I'm not putting down on why I got on, but I was 16. You know, I was 16 years of age.
A big moment.
Quite incredible. I'd been on the bench for the Liverpool game. The first leg, and the thing is, Marcus, the thing is, with, you know, from the age of 14, from the day that I met the gaffer, he like treated me like I was a 30-year-old. It was, you know, you do this, son, you don't do that, son. I'll teach you to be a man, son, and he did, and he did. And at 16, I was a man. Like I say, I played in the Central League for 2 years. That was a tough old league back in the day.
Yeah.
Against top players. And, I certainly grew up. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm not going to make this, you know, sour in any way. And I'd love my years, but also, you know, we wasn't lucky enough back in the day to... I'm still working now. We wasn't lucky enough back in the day to earn the money they earn now, but the money is not the issue for me. You know, the medals, we've cheated out of a UEFA Cup medal, whether that would have been a winners or a
runners-up in 84.
So there's a medal that I didn't get that we should have got, and not just me, but obviously the other players. But my European 79. You know, it's one that I want, and it's one that whatever I have to do, I'm going to get.
Yeah. Well, let's hope this conversation helps to raise the issue again, and you know, put it in the spotlight, and maybe someone from the powers that be will be listening, and we can do something about it. I mean, talking about the European Cup as we have been, we must mention the great John Robertson setting up the winning goal in 79. Final, scoring the winner in the 80 final, who sadly passed away on Christmas Day 2025. Yeah. You must have some fond memories of him.
Oh, I'm shivering. Oh. I'm shivering. Yeah. Seriously. Wow. Well enough. He's a special man. You know, when I joined as a young player, he took me, you know, he took me in his arms, really, and as though a lot of players did, he looked after me. He spoke to me in the right way. He treated me like one of his teammates, you know, the older teammates. He was quite incredible. But he had this, you know, way of making you laugh and making you... he used to call me Staxi. And the reason he called me Staxi was... Remember the old wrestler, Giant Haystack?
Yes.
Right. Well, I went through a time when I put a little bit of weight on.
And
my metabolism or whatever it was, I was putting a bit of weight. And the gaffer was making it clear to not only me, but to everybody. If you've seen him, you know, we used to get weighed and on a Friday or a Monday, I can't remember what day, but Young Mills just put another pound on and all this, and you'll soon be like Giant Haystack. So from that day, Robbo was like, Daxi. And up until the day he passed away, I went to see him in the hospital. Daxi, how you doing, Daxi? He said, I'm not too good, Daxi. And it, so it was never Millsy, never Gary. It was always Daxi. And he called me Daxi for like, what age are we now? For nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
You know? Bless him. But if you don't mind me telling a little story, he liked a fag.
Yeah.
Robbo.
A crafty cigarette. Yeah.
A crafty cigarette, but his crafty never worked because he used to see it coming out the top of the toilet where we used to go in Love One. But when we was on the team bus, Robbo had a certain seat against the window, not an aisle seat, where it was obvious to be seen having a fag. But I had to sit next to Robbo every trip away on the bus, facing down the aisle so that I could see the gaffer. If the gaffer got up and started to make his way back down the bus, I had to tell Robbo. And it was brilliant. But I couldn't fall to sleep or anything because he wouldn't let me, because I had to be his eye.
Yeah.
When the gaffer got up, I'd go, gaffer's coming, Robbo. Bag on the floor, stamp it on the floor, bust it, so he didn't get a smell. Yeah. Listen, the gaffer knew he was having them. But I had to sit there every away trip on the bus, same seat with Robbo, just to be his eyes, nudge him to let him know the gaffer was coming up of the bus. So just a little story that, you know. And I love because he loved his music, as we all know. And I was only young, but I remember him by Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing, when that came out. Uh-huh. 78, and he said, have you heard this, Daxi? You know, and I'm like, wow, I loved it. So he sort of got me into that bit of that type of music as well. Yeah. Just loved the man. He was beautiful. He was had time for everybody. He made us laugh. He made us smile. Did he make us smile with his jokes and the way he was? But he made us smile the way he played, which is more important. Because he was a genius, wasn't he? And we all know he was a genius. And you know, we all say it. And I'm so, so pleased that Stan's now, you know, in his name. I'll miss him. I'll miss him till the day I die. He was a special man, a special player in what was a special squad. You know, I can't begin to tell you. I don't know what the squad is like these days, but as a squad of players back then, Marcus. And still to this day, when we meet up, you can't. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, fantastic memories there, Gary. And thanks ever so much for sharing them. It's been a joy talking to you again. And I wish you all the best with the European Cup medal campaign.
Yeah, thank you.
And hope that does work out for you. Gary Mills, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, since that interview with Gary, I've contacted Nottingham Forest about the European Cup winners' medal. The club told me that the best option is for Gary to approach UEFA about the issue, and then the club would look to support him in those efforts to secure a 1979 medal. We'll keep in touch with Gary to see how it goes. Thanks for listening, and if you've got any Cluffy memories you'd like to share, just send an email to youngman@brianclough.com. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please support it by visiting the Tribute website, brianclough.com, and buying a souvenir or one of my personally signed books.
Thanks very much indeed. Don't forget I love you and be good.
Come here and give me a kiss. And I was like, no, please go. And he went, come on. Come and give me a kiss.
I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the green jumper.